This is Sonic Boom Radio.
Diane, 12:28 a.m. Looks like I'll be staying locally at a place called the Great Northern Hotel. Sheriff's getting me a rate. Sounds like the kind of place where when you lie down, you won't forget to dream. I was right about our suspect, James Hurley. He's in custody and will be out by morning. Good night, Lucy.
Good night, Agent Cooper. By the way, the Great Northern is up on Metal Ark Hill. Well, that's just below Whitetail Mountain. That's a little bit west of here, but not too far west.
Diane, if you could bottle this air, people would line up around the block, cash in hand. Somebody, although probably not me, could make a fortune. But isn't that always the way?
Dedens der lie multulf to til hoka. Renskepe be enkermu, zien zien trnskermu. Rakatepe be, rakatepe be. Rumpf, hulf, tu.
In the Russian labor camp, the cold is your main enemy. Getting out of bed is agony, especially if the chisel slips. Outdoors, the back-breaking work goes on for seconds and seconds. Ah, finished. But I can't return to quarters. Every single prisoner must first be counted.
One!
Someone is missing. They start the count again.
One, two, dismiss.
Oh, time goes so slowly. When I think how long I am here for, I go mad. 3 whole seconds until I am free.
Diane, 6:18 a.m., room 315. Great Northern Hotel up here in Twin Peaks. Slept pretty well. Non-smoking room, there's no tobacco smell. That's a nice consideration for the business traveler. A hint of Douglas fir needles in the air. As Sheriff Truman indicated they would, everything this hotel promised, they've delivered. Clean, reasonably priced accommodations. Telephone works, bathroom in really tip-top shape, no drips, plenty of hot water, and good steady pressure. That could be a side benefit of the waterfall outside my window. Mattress fur, but not too firm, and no lumps, like that time I told you about down in El Paso. What a nightmare that was. But of course, you've heard me tell that story once or twice, haven't you, Diane? Haven't tried the television set yet. Looks like cable, probably no reception problems. But the true test of any hotel, as you well know, Diane, is that morning cup of coffee, which I'll be getting back to you about within a half hour. Diane, it struck me again earlier this morning. There are two things that continue to trouble me, and I'm speaking now not only as an agent of the Bureau, but also as a human being. What really went on between Marilyn Monroe and the Kennedys? And who really pulled the trigger on JFK?
We are interested, stimulated, entertained, and amused by seeing how new patterns are created both rhythmically and counterpointedly by placing new matter over old. Also,
Diane, 11 a.m. We've just released James Hurley into the custody of his uncle, Big Ed Hurley, owner of Big Ed's gas farm. James was with Laura Palmer approximately 2 hours before she died and knows more than he's saying. But who couldn't you say that about in the final analysis? One more thing, Diane. Yesterday, a large group of Norwegians simultaneously checked out of the Great Northern Hotel. This is either a strange example of the herding instinct exhibited by animals like the common lemming of their native tundra, or something scared them off.
Sweet as love, I do not go, for weariness of thee, nor in the hope show a sweeter love for me. But since that I must die at last, 'tis best to use myself in jest, thus by feigned death.
Diane, 11:17 a.m. I'm standing on the spot where Laura Palmer's body washed ashore. The large remains of a Douglas fir lies on the beach here, a victim of a storm or other calamity some 50 years past. The sheriff has introduced me to the owner of the lumber mill, Josie Packard, a visitor from the Far East and a woman of uncommon beauty. The ownership of the mill passed into her hands a year and a half ago when her husband died in a boating accident. She and the sheriff have been seeing each other, something I suspected from their body language that the sheriff subsequently confirmed. These appear to be random events, unrelated at this time, so naturally, they bear watching. Oh, Diane. Never drink coffee that has been anywhere near a fish. Diane, 7 p.m., the Double R Diner. This must be where pies go when they die.
I have been to restaurants in Soho whose denizens have crossed social and geographical barriers to reach them. In one, I have seen a girl sitting amid musical pandemonium with a book open on her knees and her little finger entwined with that of her true love. Of course, she was not really listening, not really reading, and not communicating with her friend in any way that required effort or style. It would be hard to say whether the jukebox caused the death of human speech, or whether music came to fill an already widening void. But unless the music is stopped now, the human race, mumbling, snapping its fingers and twitching its hips, will sink back into an amoebic state where it will take a coagulation of hundreds of teenagers to make up a single unit of vital force, which, once formed, will only live on sedatives, consume itself on the terraces of football stadia, and die.
There will now be a 1 minute interval.
What's yours, old son?
I'm not sure.
Well, I'm going to move on. We're a bit pushed for time. Too late. Everybody's got in ahead of us.
Jack, I see.
The basic idea is very interesting. But the task of producing something valid within such restrictions...
Speaking personally, it would have made a good 30-second sketch. But it needs pruning.
Yes.
The second half will begin in just under 25 seconds.
Excuse me? Hey, do you mind not shoving?
Sorry, but the second half's about the beginning.
What, already? And they're not allowing anyone in after the beginning?
Oh, I'm afraid the call of nature must take precedence. Excuse me. Come on, drink up, gentlemen.
Well, it's ridiculous. They've hardly had time to shift the setting.
How do you shift the bare essentials?
The second half will begin in just under 12 seconds.
I'm my bloody zip stuck.
You can do it up later. Come on.
The second half is about to...
Diane, tomorrow I'll take Harry and the gang on a rock-throwing trip to Tibet. But first, another piece of this heavenly pie.
Thank you.
am the captain of a brooch boat. I set sail across purple wool, a scented breast with a dip. My sailors are sick. The heaving motion. We do not proceed. It's that damn pin at the back. The passengers sit still in their silver cabin. The food is done and the bilge is full. One day, the thoughtless lady will find seasick on her twin set and set us
Diane, 11:30 p.m., Great Northern Hotel, room 315. Events converge. The theory of concentric thinking. There may, in fact, be no such thing as coincidence. While generally a man missing a limb is not in and of itself strange for a hospital, Deputy Hawk reports seeing a one-armed man outside of intensive care. A note. 5x7 envelope, cream-colored, and scented with an expensively priced perfume, was slipped underneath my door. It said, Jack with one eye. Now to sleep, perchance to dream.
J'ai bien mangé.
No! There's a bird called the Swift. It's a very enjoyable creature. Eats flies. And it can sleep on the wing. Amazing, that. Sleeps on the wing. And it can fly, like, at different angles because it, like, it's when it, you know. What I'm trying to tell you is, like, the wings. The wings beat at different speeds. And when the wings beat at different speeds, they, like, go different directions somehow. He's got a wingspan about 7, 8, 12 inches. Somewhere near. In the nest, they have little funny things which like catch onto the backs of them. Now, they're called parasites. They've got six legs and they look very ugly. They ruin the life of the swift. The swift is capable of flying at least 80 miles an hour. In a dive, it'll probably get up to 120. I've had enough. I want a drink.
Diane, 6 a.m. Please add the following sound to my master tape labeled Sounds. Canadian geese, Diane.
Oh!
I think I've been spotted. Diane, 1:18 a.m. Long day. Turning in. Albert Rosenfield has arrived, and with his usual charm, has completely won over the local population, as Sherman did in Atlanta. He should have something for us by morning. Oh, Diane, the air here is as fresh and crisp as a cracker. You don't sleep, you slumber. I'm setting my alarm for 6:15. Good night, Diane. Thank you.
Diane, 10:25 a.m., Twin Peaks County Morgue. Upon the completion of Laura's autopsy, Sheriff Truman and Albert Rosenfield entered into a heated discussion, at the end of which Sheriff Truman punched Albert in the nose. I can't say I didn't see it coming. Diane, let's face the music. Albert Rosenfield has not changed. Since arriving in Twin Peaks, his actions here have been, as usual, callous and insensitive. You'd better prepare the appropriate paperwork for action unbecoming a field officer, as I suspect Albert will attempt to file charges against Sheriff Truman, and I intend to defend Harry to the utmost of my ability. Diane, in 3 hours, Twin Peaks buries a young girl. I'm looking at her face. Death is seldom kind and never fair. I know that good is stronger than evil, and yet sometimes it's difficult to see it. Even in a place like Twin Peaks.
This is Sonic Boom Radio. I am Dr. Boom. For a list of all the songs we play, visit the website. geocities.com/sonicboomradio. If you want to write to us, please do. Email us at sonicboomradio@yahoo.com. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.